and somebody will treat you like home folks, maybe. If they don't, we'll have a talk with them, spank them or something. But this morning, we got a heavy heart. I know it wasn't aware of our prayer request. A friend of mine called me first thing this morning when, well, we had gotten the truck to start down here, and a friend of mine over at Rock Springs called, and the first words out of his mouth was, "My son has passed away." And you never know how to answer, no matter how long you're preacher or pastor, there's no answer to that. All you can say is, "I'm sorry," and let them talk. But y'all be much in prayer for the Ronald Kimbrell and his family. His son Greg passed away last night. Young guy, was probably somewhere in his early 50s. He went to high school at Ramburn, but just remember them as the funeral will be coming up, he thinks, Tuesday. So y'all pray for that family for comfort. They've had, the Kimbrell family's been through some tough times last year or so. So pray for them, be much in prayer. And I know the family over in Fruithurst lost a son, Will Allred, his family. I can't imagine being in their place this morning and dealing with what they're dealing with. So just pray for comfort for them. There's so many hurting people in our communities right now and in our land. And according to the scriptures, we called to be the Lord's hands and feet and to comfort them and to be there to meet their needs. So if we can in any way, let's step up and help these families. And I know we have many other prayer requests this morning. Does anyone else have one? Y'all remember Abby? She'll be going for some tests September the 1st. We'll be in Atlanta, which I know it's never serious until it's yours. But y'all remember that pray for the ones doing the test and pray for the results, that God knows what is already and that he's able to handle whatever it is. So we have faith in that, confidence in that, but just ask y'all to pray for that situation. The college students, and then I look around, we got many missing this morning that's headed back to school. Remember all them as they go back into college life. And me and Ashlyn this morning was planning a party for this afternoon when Amberly goes back. And well, she thought it would be a good time to have a cookout or something once she leaves. But seriously, they go back to, away from mom and daddy, and I guess we're supposed to be a little sad. I don't know. But I'm trying to find why I'm sad. But no, seriously, y'all, as driving back and forth and their travels and everything they do in school, remember them, pray for them, as there's lots to get into at these places. So just pray the Lord keeps them. I know he will. Anyone else? Remember that one. Yes, remember that. Who? Okay. Remember that one? We have these prayer requests. I know I'm very guilty of saying I will pray and then I don't. Just to be honest, I think we all do that. But let's take these prayer requests that we hear on Sunday mornings in our classes and honestly pray for them. Without that, it's simply a gossip session. If we don't pray, it's just a way to hear about what's going on. So let's honestly pray for these that have been asked prayer for. And pray that God's will be done in each situation.
Yeah, it's definitely helped us.
Amen.
We appreciate them.
Continue to pray for Jane and Jackie. He's
a very hard time, and we really appreciate all the prayers.
Amen.
I love my church family. We do.
Y'all remember them. They have been through a tough time. It's been several months now that they have. Continue praying. Definitely makes a difference. There's power in prayer. Tell us in James, book of James, what power is in prayer. Anyone else? Another prayer request. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you thanking you for the day you've given us to live. Another gift, Father, this day is. Lord, I come with a heavy heart this morning as one of my friends, Lord, called me about his son. I pray that you comfort him, brother. I love this family. Father, I know that you can comfort them, and I just ask that they lean on you, give them the ability to lean on you, give them the understanding that you're the only place they can lean at this time. God, we pray for the family in Fruithurst that lost a son. Can't even imagine, Father, and I know you know you give your only son. But God, I can't imagine what they must be going through this morning. I ask that you comfort them and use people around them to comfort them. And Father, I know there's no words we can say that'll help, but I ask that you just give us the ability to help them in some way. God, I pray for the ones having surgery, the ones having tests, and all the different things coming up. And God, I ask that your perfect will be done. I know that's what the Scripture teaches we should pray for, and sometimes it's hard to accept what your perfect will is, but God, we know your Scripture says is all things work together for the good of those that love you. And Father, we love you here. Lord, we ask that you touch our church this morning, that you touch our message, and Father, I ask that you open hearts and lives, and Lord, that you use this to draw some lost sinner to you, or Father, to draw one that's away from you back. And Lord, I ask that you use New Harmony Baptist Church to be a light on a hill, Father, that we'll reach a community and a nation that is lost and that does not have any concern for you. And God, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Day my beloved one bring me. She was named something different at birth. Then
See everyone out and excited. Excited to see everyone out this morning. And again, we've got several college students gone, and I'm going to miss them, but I know they're going out so they can make mom and daddy a bunch of money and bring it back. But I began thinking about what to preach today, and I read a verse of scripture the other day that just won't leave me alone. It's stuck on my mind all week, and I've studied on some of the words on it. And it's one of these, Terry, when you look in the commentaries, and I don't get messages for commentaries, but I look there to make sure I'm on the right page, because these men, God bless, to pin this stuff down was way smarter than I am. And so I check sometimes, but I found something out about commentaries. I may have mentioned this before, but if there's ever something that's hard to understand, they leave it out. And I begin thinking sometimes, well, Warren Wiersbe, I could do that. I could come up with the easy ones, but no, this verse here, there's not a lot written about it in commentaries, but the Lord began working on me, and everything we've talked about today in Sunday school, and everything that's been saying is about praising God, about praising Him. And listen, when you praise God, you don't get to praise Him all the time on a mountaintop. You don't get to praise Him all the time when things are good and the bank account's full and the children are healthy and the wives are healthy and everyone's healthy and no one's passed away. You don't get to praise Him like that all the time. And you can sometimes, but sometimes you have to praise Him through the storm. Sometimes you have to praise Him through losses. Sometimes you have to just simply praise God. We don't know what else to do. So I can't imagine this morning to be in those places, that those families that's near to me and dear to me that has lost loved ones this morning. And it's hard to see how you can praise God. But this verse of Scripture helps me understand, Terry, of how I can praise God when times are tough. Because no matter what you're going through this morning, I want to promise you something. It's not going to last very long. The Bible says it too shall come to pass. It too shall pass. We've all been through hard times. We've been through things we don't understand. We've been through times that just don't make any sense. But ain't it good to know that the sun's going to rise again in the morning? A new day is going to come, and blessings are coming our way. And I could go through this room and I could say, how many people has had heartaches? And everyone would raise their hand. I say, how many people has blessings beyond measure? And bless God, we'd all have to raise our hands this morning. We are a blessed people. We're a blessed nation. If nothing else, we've got a Savior that died for us. We have nothing else to praise Him for. We could yell that from the housetop for 100 years. We could never say it enough. But this morning, we preached a lot about growing lately. And I mentioned when I started this, it's on our sign. If we don't do it, having our great mayor here, he'd have to write us a citation. Or have to get AJ to come do it, because we'd be false advertisement, which is against the law. We see a bunch of false advertisement today, but I want our church truly to be growing. And I think today, and according to the Scripture today, we must be growing in praise. It's impossible to have a church that is on the right path and is following Jesus Christ and not praising. It's impossible. But now listen, I want you to see something. We all praise God differently. We praise Him differently. I've been in church services where the Spirit was so thick that people was raising their hands and some was yelling, some was shouting. And I saw some, like my dad. My dad's not a very vocal man when he worships, but I believe he's one of the most sincere. And I've seen him sit there with tears coming down his face. That's his way of worshiping. We're not all the same. We're not all called to run church pews. And I have no problem with it. If God calls you to do it, bless God, you do it. But make sure it's of Him. I have no problem with raising hands. We should do that. The Bible teaches that. But make sure it's of Him. Have no problem with speaking. Amen. I love to get them amens, Rudy. Peggy might not like it, but I like him amens. Listen, we all worship differently. But today we should be, no matter what's going on in our lives, we should be praising God. Amen. We should be praising Him. Listen, turn to Psalm 68, verse 19. I've got to read more than I had planned on, but I've been studying that this morning. And I said, there's no way I cannot read verse 20 and maybe even verse 21. But listen, I never read this in Psalm 68. I don't remember ever reading this in the Bible. And I did because I read the Scriptures all the way through one time. I got one of those set aside lists and I read it through. But I'm afraid that I just simply read the words because I didn't take time to study it like I should it as I went through. But at one point I have read this, but it didn't stick. But I read it this week and it stuck. And it began penetrating my heart and began pondering on this thing as I looked around at everything God had blessed me with. Listen to this verse. You may have a different translation this morning, but I want you to listen to this verse that is said in the King James Version. Y'all know I don't preach and harp on this stuff, but I like what this version says about this morning. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. And that word blessed right there, you can put praise there. It's the meaning of praise. It said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Boy, I like to shout it when I read that this week. Is blessed be the God. Blessed be the Lord who, hey, He ain't done it just one time. He ain't done it for me when I just got saved. But bless God, that Scripture says, blessed be Him who daily loadeth me with benefits. I get up every single morning and I go outside and the birds are chirping and the sun's up and everything just like it's supposed to be. And I'm allowed to breathe. I'm allowed to have good health right now in my life. And I'm allowed to have a family right now in my life. I'm allowed to have a home. I'm allowed to have cars and everything God's blessed me with and a job and all this. And I need to understand something that I need to praise Him who daily loadeth me with benefits. Boy, is that not good this morning that He daily, hey, it don't say He gives me a few benefits. He says that daily loadeth us with benefits. I began thinking about that, and this is where the commentaries didn't help me a bunch. Some of them says that word loadeth should be changed to beareth our burdens. And I agree, he bears my burdens daily. But something this week spoke to me about loadeth with benefits. Hey, when you load something, brother, you know what you do? You pile them on. You put them till they can't go no more. I remember the days, and I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. I had to cut firewood when we was little. And they don't, Stephanie don't know I ever worked that hard, but I did one time. When I was at home, Mom and Daddy had a wood heater. And I remember having to go out and cut wood, and I think, why in the world does Daddy not get some other means of heat? This is terrible. Have to cut this stuff. But you know what he'd make us do? He'd make us load that truck so you couldn't put any more on it. We would load it, that thing, all we had. We couldn't put another stick on it when we left the woods. Sometimes the bumper would be dragging. I believe this is how God loads us daily with benefits or blessings. And I think about how is my praise this morning. How is your praise this morning? And you look up the word praise, it means adoration and glory bestowed upon one who is or does good. Let me read that to you. The meaning of it in Webster's Dictionary, the meaning of praise is adoration and glory bestowed upon one who is or does good. The minute you hit a home run in a softball game, people begin to praise you. But the minute you run to the wrong home plate, it ain't so great anymore, is it, Keith? Listen, I've done that in our softball game, and you ask them, and they'll probably tell you more about it than I am. But Caleb had hit a home run. He's not here this morning to testify to it. He hit a home run, and we was all praising him, and boy, it was great, and I was tickled to death, but I didn't realize that I would be the one that would nullify that home run. I went and touched him. If you've never seen our church softball league, it don't make any sense. It must have come from some other religion because it's got two home plates. It don't make any sense, but you have to run. You run to the wrong one, you're out. Remember that if you ever play. If you run to the original one, you're out. But listen, you hit a home run, you're praised. But you do something wrong and you're not praised. That's the way things work. And listen, God is worthy of all praise. We can praise a man sometimes when he does good things and he has good intentions, but I promise you, at the heart of every man is evil. At the heart of every man, I don't care how great he is, what kind of preacher, what kind of pastor, at the heart of that man is evil. How did I know that? I told you, Billy Graham said he knew evil was alive in the world because of his own heart. Our heart desires evil. The Bible says we can't even trust our own heart. The only thing we can trust is a true and a living God. He's worthy of all praise. He's the example of good. If you want to know what good is, you look at God. You want to know what great is, you look at a picture of God. He is the only one and the only thing in our world, in us, that we should be praising today because everything else can mess up. I mentioned Caleb. Boy, it's sad. I'm preaching about him today and ain't even here. But listen, Caleb hit that home run and we praised him. But I promise you, Caleb's a great ball player. But at some time in Caleb's career, he's made a mistake. He's made a mistake. He may not have touched the wrong home plate, but he's made a mistake somewhere down the road. Listen, I'm talking about praising one this morning who never has and never will make a mistake. The true and living God who will never make a mistake. I think sometimes we are taught, and I preach it a lot, that I don't need any praise. You don't praise me. You don't praise anything I do. You praise the one who does it through us. Amen? But listen, I think we've taken that and applied it to God. We sit in here and we say, why does God need all that praise? He teaches us not to praise, not to be boastful, not to lift each other up, and not to make more of us than we are. So why does God deserve it? You want to know why God deserves it? Because he's completely holy, and I'm not. He's never made a mistake. He never will make a mistake. He created everything perfect. He makes everything perfect in his time, and he's never, and never will anybody be able to say, well, God made a mistake. I've heard people say that. Had a preacher come last night to a brotherhood I went to, and he began preaching about being a man. And he said that he read about this week of where this little child was born. And the parents had said, y'all may have seen on the news, I didn't. But said the parents said that they wasn't going to give that child a name. They wasn't going to put a certain type of clothing on that child because they was going to let that child decide which gender it was. Well, bless God, may I tell you something? That was determined before that child was ever born. The Bible says that was determined before the foundation of the world. If God made that child a man, well, bless God, he's a man. If God made that child a woman, bless God, he's a woman. I don't care what you do with it. I said he's a woman, didn't I? I caught myself. But listen, God knows what we are. He don't make a mistake. or people that are termite lifestyles, whatever you want to call it today, that wasn't a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. He never will make a mistake. I'm not saying he gives different people different things to deal with and struggle with, but I am telling you that God in all his perfection, he's worthy to be praised because he never has messed up.
Amen.
He's perfect. Never made a mistake. We are the ones who mess everything up. We're living in a world today where you can't even say anything is wrong with anyone for fear of offending them. You can't tell what the truth is in churches because you may run this group off, and you can't do things that the Bible said is right because these may not come back. Well, listen, if you can't come back because what's in this Word of God, and if I'm preaching the Word of God, then bless God, you need to go somewhere else anyway. But if I get out of the Word, then you need to do something with me. But as long as a man's in the Word of God, you need to do what it says. You need to stay with what it says. We should praise him. Why should we praise him? Psalms 96, verse 4. Why should we praise him? For he is great. I don't know of any other word in our English language that can explain God more than great. He is great. That's the only thing I know to tell you today. He is simply great in any situation you want to look at. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hey, he is great. You want to praise something and you want to get on fire, and you get on fire about how great God is, and you'll see things changing your life. You see a church, and I mentioned this a few months back, you see a church who begins praising Jesus and speaking the name of Jesus in everything they do and making much of the name of Jesus, then you're going to see a church that is on fire, and you're going to see a church that God is working through. He's greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. You see, we don't understand that verse very well today because in the United States of America, we know one true God. Up until lately, these other gods have been brought in daily into our lives, but the one true God, the God of Israel, in this biblical days, they believed in many different gods, a God of the sun, a God of the moon, a God of the fertility, a God of everything they had a God of. And the psalmist here had to tell them that the reason our God's worthy to be praised is because he's the only one true God. That he was living in eternity past. He'll be alive in future past. He'll never be dead. And he still will never make a mistake. So he is greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Now and forever. That's why we should praise him. Hey, for all he's done. Why to praise him? Praise him for all he's done. Number one, do you understand? He must have a great sense of humor because he created you.
Amen.
He must be a great sense of humor. He created some of us, and some of us look funny. And we act funny, and we do different things and all this. And I think when he made me short, he began giggling a little bit. He said, you'll have to deal with this. This will be something you have to deal with. And listen, he made us all perfect, though, exactly like he wanted us. Now, one day when I see him face to face, I may ask him why I was short. I don't know. Pat, but I may do it anyway. But listen, for all he's done, you may be sitting there, and you may be one of those that have lost a child somewhere in the past. You may be one of those that has lost husbands or wives. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand about, you say, praise him for all he's done. I've lost this. Listen, I can imagine a little Will Allred's family this morning saying, preacher, how can I praise him right now? How can I praise him? When I've lost my baby, Ronald Kimball over in Ramburn, I can imagine him saying, preacher, how can I praise him this morning? My son died last night, and I can't touch him anymore, and I can't talk to him anymore. Why should I praise him? For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, church, he knows what it's like to lose a child. He didn't lose him. He gave him. So that, listen, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why should I praise him today? Because he's provided a way of salvation for every man. After that fall in the garden, there was no way that a man could be made right with God. They tried everything. Immediately, Adam and Eve put clothes on. You remember that? They sewed fig leaves together. And that they had fig leaves on, the Bible tells me, and I don't believe the Bible makes a mistake. And they said they had fig leaves, and they was hid in there. And it says that God came in, and it says something that they hid themselves. Now, if they had fig leaves on, why did they hide themselves? They thought they were still naked, and they was still naked before a holy God. And God come in, and he said, why are you hiding? And who told you was naked? They was like when our mom and daddy catches us, our kids has got a famous word. I don't know if it's a word or whatever you call it, but when they're lying, you can call their name and say, why'd you do this? And they'll say, huh? Blake's been around enough to know it. You can ask Amberly ever since she was a little girl, why'd you do this thing, huh? And coming up as a teenager in high school, bless her heart, she went by every time zone in the United States. We'd always went by Georgia time in our house, and she'd come in at 1 o'clock and we'd say, what time is it? She'll say, it's 12. We in Alabama. So she never tried to use California, but she would have. But listen, for all he's done for us, he saved us. He provided a way of salvation. You may be sitting in our pews today and you may not be saved, but bless God, you can be. You can be if the Spirit of God draws you and lets you know you're a sinner. He provided a way for you to be made right with God. Those little will, I don't know if his heart, I don't know if he'd reached the age of accountability, but if he has, he asked Jesus into his heart. You know what? Mother and daddy ought to be praised today. There will be shouting. There will be running benches. There will be having a party because he's in the presence of an almighty God. Never to hurt again. Never to go through the things we have to go up. And the Bible teaches us to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So the moment we take our last breath, we step into an eternity with a holy, perfect God who never makes a mistake. I believe he's got a plan. I believe he's got a plan for each one of our lives, and I believe it's going to come to pass. He's provided for all he's done. For all he's done. Listen, if you thought about all that God's done for you, I want you to just take a minute and think about all God's done for you. Outside of salvation, yes, that's the best one. And that's the most important one. If you go through this life, you have $1 million or $10 million or $100 million and you never have Jesus Christ, then you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing because we taught about it. The Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, it's all vanity. It's all empty without a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing good outside of salvation. Let's set this one over here. What all has God done for you? Look beside you this morning. Look beside you. You've got loved ones sitting beside you. God give you a family. I know there's times it's not real special and you fuss and you fight, but listen, God give you that family. God gave you a husband or wife. He gave you those kids. He gave you the house you live in. He gave you the ability to breathe. I may have told y'all this, but I'm going to say it again. I was at a funeral one time. There's this guy preaching. I'm going to be honest. It's bad to say, and I'm not criticizing him, but he wasn't doing that great of a job. Just wouldn't, I'm being honest. But he said something that stuck with me more than any preacher I've ever heard at any funeral or at any message. I can't remember a lot of the messages I've heard at revivals and Sunday mornings. I can't remember a lot of them, but this one I remember. He said that breath you just took was God's air. It was God's. The breath I just inhaled was God's. Without that air, I couldn't do anything. Without that air, I would be dead. Without that air, that would be no hope for me. I must have air to breathe. And God created that air, and he gave it to me for a breath. Oh, listen, you don't understand what it is to have that breath of air. I remember playing football and coming up as a child out playing sports, and I hadn't had this happen in a long time, and I don't want it to happen for a long time. You ever got hit and you lose your breath? And you have to gasp, and you remember how great it is the moment you're able to breathe again. And without being able to breathe, listen, there's death. So God gives us air to breathe. The simplest things. Without water, we couldn't sustain life. God give us in this country plenty of clean, available drinking water. It's not so when you go to the United States of America. You go to these other countries, you cannot drink the water. It'll make you sick and many different things. God has blessed us with so much. What all has he done? Your health. You may think, well, preacher, I've been the one losing weight and exercising, and I've made my health what it is today. Oh, really? It's God giving you the ability and the lungs and the heart and everything to keep going. Listen, Greg Kimball this morning, his heart quit beating and he passed into eternity. God chose at that time to let it happen. Yes, it may have been from whatever stops arteries up and all that stuff. I don't know what it was, and doctors may never know, but listen, it was God's plan. He allowed it to happen. The one who created all universe, I promise you, he can make a heart keep beating. Of all he's blessed us with, why we should praise him for all he's done. Listen, he deserves it, and he expects it. And when we say that, the human part of us tend to think, well, God's a little puffed up, isn't he? God's a little puffed up, and he expects me to bow to him He expects me to adore him, expects me to raise my hands to him and put him above everything else. And God really must be selfish. Yes, he's selfish. He says he is. He says, I'm a jealous God. I desire you to worship no one but me. And the reason he can do that is complete holiness. I can't comprehend complete holiness. I can't comprehend it, but he is so good that he has to require the best. That's what he'll take. Listen to Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 40. This is in the triumphal entry. When Jesus came, was about to be crucified. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. His disciples, his followers were standing there. You remember they had put the palm leaves down and they was crying, Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King! Here comes the great one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Here he comes. And all of those Pharisees and Sadducees says, oh, wait a minute, Jesus, you need to tell them to be quiet because you're not a king and you're not this, you're not that. And Jesus tells them, says, look here, boys, if they didn't cry out, the stones would. The stones would cry out. The stones, he says, would immediately cry out. Listen, church, I wonder today how many stones are crying out because me and you don't see a need to praise a holy God. How many stones are crying today? And we probably can't hear them, but listen to these beautiful rock formations that God has made. If you've been around this country a little bit, God made some beautiful things out of rock. And I believe it's them crying out. How great, how mighty is this one who created me? When you look at our human bodies of how it does, of everything God put in our bodies and how it takes care of itself, and it works, and everything works perfectly. Yes, there's times we get sick. It comes from sin in the garden. The Bible teaches us that. But God made a perfect body for us. This thing's exactly like he made it. It does what it's set to do. And before sin came along, may I tell you, it was made to live forever. And bless God, it still is. This body here, yes, it'll go to the grave. But according to the scripture in Thessalonians, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the graves will burst open. And this body will be changed. And it'll be like his. What is his? It's a perfect body. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be perfect. It's going to be what Jesus is, so it's going to be perfect. He's worthy to be praised. Fall time is coming. It talks about the rocks crying out. Has anyone in here ever saw a more beautiful sight then ride up to Tennessee or North Carolina or even Sheehaw Mountain in the fall time and see all them beautiful colors? You know what they're doing? They're crying out to a maker who created them. They're saying, look how pretty I am. He created me. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, that we can see from the creation of the world of how great God is, and we stand without excuse. We should be praising him. The rocks praise him. The trees praise. Do you realize we're the only creation that God made that does not do exactly what he set it out to do? Trees grow and produce other fruit. They do it. You don't see hardly any tree you plant unless the thing dies. Somebody cuts it down. If it's planted, it immediately begins producing other fruit. How many people's got pine trees in their yard? If you do, you got pine cones. You know what happens? Other pine trees come from them. They produce fruit. Me and you are the only creation that God made that rebels. We rebelled. A bluebird does exactly what a bluebird set out to do. It doesn't make any mistakes. It doesn't mess up. Yes, it gets run into by a car time again, but it does exactly what God set it to do. They thought that was funny. Listen, God's created everything perfect. We're the only ones that rebelled. It already gives us more reason to praise that he made a way for a rebellious sinner like me to be made right with a holy, perfect God. And daily I should be crying out to praise him. When shall we praise God? When should we praise God? Should I just praise him when my bank account's full or when the kids are home and everything's going great and nobody's fussing, and that's very seldom at my house, and all this is going, should I just praise him then? Let me tell you something, church. You should praise him to start every day. When you wake up and put your feet on the floor, you ought to say, thank you, God. You'll say, thank you and praise your name for allowing me to live another day. When you walk outside and you see others, you say, thank you, God. But also when times are tough, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God hath also set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. The Bible teaches that it rains on the just and unjust. You remember what Job said? His wife said, Job,
Why don't you just curse God and die? Surely you've done something wrong. Why don't you just curse him and die? Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. Should not man be a great all, should man be great all the time? Or shouldn't man have to suffer a little bit also? He says, it rains on the just and the unjust. There's times in my life that I can glory and I can praise God when everything's just perfect. And we've had those days. I remember there's been days that I've sat at work and I begin to think that, listen, everything is good right now. Calls is coming in. I've got sales in my job. I don't have to worry about the boss being upset. And everything's going good at home. And I sit there and I'm in complete peace. And I say, thank you, God. But I've also had days come in when I've sold engines to somebody in California and the things tore up. We got a warranty, got to give me money back. And all of a sudden Stephanie calls and this one's sick and that one's sick. And all of a sudden something breaks down and at home or the washing machine stops. Or if Lee was here, he'd say, Misty, burn up the oven. Or something like that. I have days like that also when nothing can go wrong. You know what I find myself doing? And I found myself doing this the other day. I go outside and there's guys that work for me that I don't know their heart, but according to the way they live, they don't know the Lord. And I go out there and I begin complaining about how bad my day's going. God ought to smoke me right at that moment. I ought to go outside and ought to say, this has happened and that's happened, but praise be the name of God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. And you remember what some of the people who wrote the epistle said? Paul and different ones said, what a blessing it is to suffer. To suffer for the cause of Christ. Listen, church, I promise you something. Life, we're studying Ecclesiastes in our Sunday school lesson. It says life is few days and full of trouble. May not be the same verses, but it's in the scripture. It also says life is a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's very short. Listen, church, when should you praise him? When times are tough, when times are good. To sum it up, pretty simple. You should praise him continually. Continually with a song on your lips. You realize what Psalms is? Psalms is a collection of songs. And I've met people that go along all day with songs in their heart. I'm not one to sing because you heard me sing, you know why. But listen, Ashlyn is one of the ones that she's an inspiration to me and she don't even know it. You can be around her. I'm not bragging on her because she's mine. It's just a simple that I'm around her more than I'm anybody else nearly. She goes about all day, no matter if she's working and playing with something in her room or if she's doing her schoolwork or she's playing softball. If you're ever beside her, she is humming continuously. The Bible teaches that. Sing psalms with a joyful heart. You can't sing if you're in a bad mood. You can't sing if things is not good. You sing when you're at a complete peace with God. I'm not saying she's the only one. I'm not lifting her up and praising her, but I'm saying she's an example to me. We should go about with a song in our heart, praising God. How should we praise him? We should praise him in song. We should praise him with our talents and with our abilities he's given us, with the gifts he's blessed us with. I don't think we've ever seen a time in church history when people with God-given talents are simply not using them. When they're sitting on benches with talents God has given them, God has provided for them, and they're not using them. Listen, if you want to sing, I promise you they'll find a place here for you to sing. Even if you can't sing, they gave Amberly a chance. Listen, we'll find a place for you to sing. If God's laid on your heart to sing, tell somebody, and we'll let you sing. I promise you they will. They'll put you a place on that little bulletin and put your name up there and you'll get to sing. Listen, if God's given you ability to teach, then you do it. Listen, all of this is praise to God. Every bit of it is praise to him. You're not singing to impress me or to impress the ones on the benches. You're singing to an almighty, perfect God. Amen. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't believe there's anything sweeter to an almighty, holy God than one of his he saved and redeemed singing songs to him. Yeah. I believe it's great. I believe it's sweet to his ears as honey. Sing with our talents, with everything we do. You realize the best way we can praise him is with our life, is with our everyday walk. I remember when some of them here that went to camp. I remember when they come back from camp, and Abby's going to get mad at me, but she'll get over it because she'll be wanting some gas money. She ain't working much. Listen. They come back from camp, and they was excited, and I loved it. Y'all remember that Sunday? It was a great Sunday. It felt like a revival. People was up raising their hands. They was praying. It was an altar, and that's what it should be all the time. But all of a sudden, something happened. The high of that wore off. Like a revival, we're about to go into a revival. The first or second week after revival will be great. Man, the spirit of the church will be great, but as time goes, that's why the older churches, and in the old days when they had two revivals a year, by the time that one is about to wear off, you try to bring another one in. Because us as people allow this to happen. But what I'm saying is, Abby came back. She was on a spiritual high. All of a sudden, life began hitting. You went back to work. You went back to school. You went back to band practice, football practice. You went back to whatever it is on your daily basis. Everyday life began to happen. And you know what? We didn't see any hands raised. We didn't hear anything. And I'm not picking on these teens. We're the same way if we get out of a great revival. We're the same way. But we come back in with our heads down, look like we've lost our best dog. Look like he got run over out there in Highway 9. Not a smile on our face. It's so sad when a Christian interacts with someone and they say, I've had people tell me this, it made me feel bad. They said, smile, everything's going to be okay. I thought, man, I have nothing to, I'm not mad. I don't know why they told me to smile. It must have been on my face. Listen, I should be a person. God has saved me. He's redeemed me. He's gave me a great life. He's gave me a great church. He's gave me a great family. He's gave me a church family. He's gave me everything I need. I'm not going without anything. He's blessed us all above measure. A church, we should be praising Him today, even when life is hard. Because what I was saying with that camp is Abby came back and life was exactly where it was when she left. And if we're going to grow in our spiritual walk, yes, camp is great and it gets us on fire. Yes, revivals are great and they get us on fire. Yes, it's good to hear another man's perspective on the Word of God as he preaches. That's why you get visiting preachers. Yes, it's great. But if we're going to grow in a relationship closer to God, it's in the trenches of everyday life. It begins with praising Him. Listen, when we're on a mountain, things are great. But life can't be lived on a mountain. There's nothing to sustain it. You go to the top of the Rocky Mountains. I've never been there, but I saw it from an airplane. It looked rocky and snowy. Yes, you could eat the snow for water, but you had no food. You couldn't live up there very long. Eventually, you'd have to come down in the valley. And that's the way life is, people. We can't live up here. We live down here. If we're going to grow closer to God, it's going to be in those times, in those valleys. We're raising our hands when the bank account's empty and the kids are sick and everything's going wrong and say, praise you, God. Praise be to God. He's still great. And people will think you've lost your mind when everything you've got is missing and your loved ones have passed on and there's nothing going right in your life and you're still praising God. They'll think, that's a fanatic. No, that's a Christian who has his heart right with God. I want to tell you something in summing this whole thing up. If you're in a right relationship with God, I mean if you're at the place that God desires you to be, there must be praise. Cannot be any other way. You find anybody in the Bible who was ever at a right place with God. The psalmist. And David wrote some of those psalms. And you can read David's writings of other David. Other parts in David's life where he was in a mess. He would praise God. You can find it where David's child had just died. And he got up and he washed himself. And he went to the house of the Lord and he praised God. Just lost a child. He got up, cleaned himself up, and went to the house of God. It can go on and on. Paul would rejoice, would praise God in a prison cell. Peter was sitting there. You remember we talked about it. Terry did Wednesday night in our class where he was in jail. He was so at peace. In jail, they had to wake him up. The angel had to poke him. Get up, boy. He was sleeping sound. He was in a right place, a right relationship with God. I want to ask you this simple question this morning. Is a rock stealing your blessing? Is the rocks around you crying out? If God was to get praise, is it having to come by the rock on the side of the road or by you who's been saved and redeemed by a perfect Savior? I've thought about this week. And I've thought about every day I've woke up and I've thought about that Word who daily loadeth me. Guys, put up verse 19 and 20 of 68 again, and I'm closing, I promise. Those dangerous words for a preacher to say, but I am. Listen to this verse again. We're going to read it again. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God, listen to this. He that is our God is the God of salvation. He's the only one that can save. There is no other God that can save. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. That means what happens when a man dies. The issues caused from death is eternity. Our God alone holds all those issues, holds everything to do with it. Why should we praise Him today? Because He loaded us up with benefits. Loaded us, y'all. He don't put one or two on. If you begin counting your blessings, I promise you, you could sit down, you could start writing your blessings down, writing everything that we as Christians, we today believe that comes from God, you could write it down. I promise you, you would probably be there this time tomorrow if you ever once started writing. He loads them, heaps them up. The Bible even teaches us that about giving. It said He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even contain. When the people of God began tithing like they should in that Old Testament, you remember what happened? The church had to build a storehouse to contain all of it. God does bless. God will bless. And He wants to bless. He wants to bless every single church that's called by His name. Every single person He is wanting to, and He does. But He's worthy and He desires to be praised. Church, if you would stand, as we come with a verse of invitation, will you praise Him today? Listen, I don't know how your praise is to be. I do know that your life is to show forth it. You may have to raise your hands. You may have to cry on an altar. You may have to run out that door. You may have to run around the building. You may have to, whatever it is. Are we praising God the way He's called me to praise? It's something that is important. You say, well, preacher, I'm not one of them to praise God. But then listen, you're not one of them that realizes that God's loaded you with blessings. It's impossible to realize that and not praise Him in some type of way. You may not have to do anything. You may simply stand there, and from the bottom of your heart, you may be saying, thank you, God, for what you blessed me with. You may look at those little ones, and you may say, thank you, God, for what you've blessed me with. If you have nothing else, I promise you something. You can look at Calvary and say, thank you, God, for giving me a perfect Savior, for giving me a perfect salvation that no man can take away. He's worthy today. Will you praise Him as He sings? Thank you.